In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production.
This goes without saying, generally, but if you think about it in the current context, it's profound. A lot of the things that define us as Canadian to ourselves and certainly to outsiders require cold temperatures, require real winters. Now, depending on where you live in this country, you have probably noticed fewer outdoor ice rinks the past couple of years, or if the rinks are there, they're not there for long. This past winter, the Rideau Canal in Ottawa barely opened for skating at all. One winter soon, it may not. That beautiful frozen lake scene, with kids playing shinny, adults ice fishing, skiing, snowmobiling, sharing hot chocolate, that whole thing. Not if the lake doesn't freeze. And then, there's maple syrup. Canada produces an absurd amount of the world's maple syrup, and Quebec produces almost all of it. It is so important to the province's economy that Quebec keeps a strategic maple syrup reserve, kind of like how OPEC keeps an oil reserve. Here's the thing about that reserve. It is low. Really low. Worryingly low. Warm winters, it turns out, aren't great for maple syrup, and as you may have noticed, the winters are getting warmer. If there is one iconic Canadian food beyond maybe poutine, it is maple syrup. What happens if our taps run dry? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Warren Mabey is the director of the Queen's Institute for Energy and Environmental Policy at Queen's University. Hey, Warren.
Hey there.
Why don't you start for us today, for those of us who didn't grow up in the country, or for those of us who never took the field trip in grade school, explain how maple syrup is made.
Yeah, so maple syrup is one of those sort of Canadian staples. It is a product that Indigenous peoples have been harvesting for thousands of years, really, and utilizing. And the first Europeans to come to North America learned about this product from them. We tap trees, and specifically we tap sugar maple trees to collect sap that is running during the springtime. That sap is very sugar rich, and sugar maples actually have a richer sap in terms of sugar content than most trees. That's why they have their name, sugar maple. That's why we pursue those trees when we're trying to collect sap to make syrup. We collect sap. It really looks like water, and it has kind of a watery consistency, but there is sugar in there. To concentrate the sugars, we boil. And today we boil in very sophisticated sort of boiler systems. Indigenous peoples did it in hollowed out logs, or they did it in skin sacks over a fire. Whatever process you take, as you remove the water, as you concentrate that sugar down, it turns into this rich, syrupy concoction that I think so many Canadians love.
Where in Canada does most of our maple syrup come from? And, you know, you mentioned it is a Canadian staple. Are we the world's maple syrup leaders? Where do we rank?
So we are the world's maple syrup leaders. About 75% of the maple syrup in the world, give or take, is produced in Canada every year. And about 90% of the maple syrup produced in Canada is produced in Quebec.
Why is that?
Well, it's partly the climate. So this is the perfect climate or region for sugar maple trees. Sugar maples are trees that you find in the kind of temperate or Great Lakes forest. They're far more prevalent in parts of Quebec and in Ontario and New Brunswick and through parts of New England than anywhere else. You know, if you go too far south, sugar maples are outcompeted by other trees. Naturally, they didn't occur in the West. The range didn't extend that far. So sugar maple trees are found in this region. It is the indigenous peoples of this region that really first began to understand the potential that was attached to it. And that is why the production is concentrated so heavily in Quebec.
And this is where we go from traditional indigenous practices and, you know, Canadian delicacies to like industrial scale business here. Can you describe for us what exactly is the Strategic Syrup Reserve?
So the Strategic Maple Syrup Reserve is a unique thing to Canada and specifically to Quebec. It is designed to hold up to about 44 million liters. That is about 130 or 135 million pounds of maple syrup. It was put together in order for the industry to be able to kind of smooth out the ups and downs that occur in production, because we do often see very strong years followed by very weak years in terms of, you know, how much sap runs, how long the sap is running. We can get into that a little bit, you know, how that varies from year to year. But production can fluctuate quite a bit as you go from season to season. The reserve is designed to smooth that out so that in a year where production is a little bit lower in the forest, there's maple syrup on hand to continue to feed into those markets, because this is a product that Quebec and Canada has been developing as an export product, and increasingly it's in demand right around the world.
Before we move on to, as you mentioned, talking about production fluctuations and why this reserve is so important, I would be remiss, Warren, if I didn't ask you for a little history concerning the Strategic Maple Syrup Reserve, specifically a notable theft years ago. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, so a number of years back, there was theft of thousands of liters of maple syrup out of the reserve. This was highly, you know, documented at the time, and yes, you can look up the great maple syrup theft. This is a product that is worth a lot on a per liter basis. You know, it is a product that's in fairly high demand. And, you know, the fact that so much of it is stockpiled, I guess, was very tempting for some criminal elements out there who decided that this would be a really sort of an easy thing. It's not exactly guarded like Fort Knox. It's not surrounded, you know, by barbed wire and right, barking dogs.
Well, nobody would imagine somebody would really sneak in and steal thousands of liters.
Yeah, and it's hard to do so, although, you know, we have seen in recent years, thieves have gotten very sophisticated in what they're able to move. So, yeah, I think that this just became such a valuable commodity, or has become such a valuable commodity. We really got to a point where, you know, thieves were looking for it and thieves took it.
Speaking of a valuable commodity, you mentioned how much the reserve can hold, but how much is in there right now and how did it get to that level?
So the reserve is heavily depleted. Right now, the latest number that I have, about 2.3 million liters are in the reserve. And that's far, far below the 40-odd million liters that it is designed to contain. The reason that it is so low is because there have been a few low production years recently. 2022 is a pretty good year. 2023 was not. We'll see how 2024 ends up. 2021 also was not a great year for production. And those years coincide, of course, with the pandemic. And I think that during the pandemic, a lot of people were looking for new foods to try and new culinary experiences. You know, people were kept at home and they were busy in the kitchen. So demand has gone up over those years, even though production has gone down. So that is really a big part of the reason as to why the reserve has dwindled down to the levels that it's at today.
When you talk about low production years, how does the climate and the temperature impact syrup production? What happens there?
So we can talk about both climate and weather. We'll start with weather. You know, weather is really important for the production of maple syrup. Maple syrup, as I say, is produced by harvesting sap. And sap runs in the tree, and how much of the sap runs or how easy it is to access the sap depends really on the difference between nighttime temperatures and daytime temperatures. The way that sap moves through the tree has a lot to do with kind of hydrostatic forces. It's as the capillaries within the tree contract and expand with the changes in temperature, that forces the sap to flow, to run. Sap can run for a few weeks or even months, you know, in really productive years. It can run for days. If the temperature shifts all at once, and, you know, here in Kingston and in parts of Ontario, we often experience these very rapid springs where, you know, it's cold, 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 and then suddenly it's warm, and we don't get a lot of the in-between temperatures. What we want for maple syrup production are those in-between temperatures where it gets nice and warm during the day, the tree warms up, those capillaries open up, sap starts to move, and then at night, the capillaries squeeze tight and again forces sap back up within the tree so that we start to see this motion. That's when we can harvest. That's when we can get at the sap and remove some of that sap in order to produce the syrup.
You mentioned that there was a rise in consumption during the pandemic. Part of it may be people wanting to try new things, but we're pushing maple syrup, or we have been, right? Like, this is a priority in terms of, Canadian exports. Like, we're working on this.
That's right. Yeah. This is a product that we're trying to sell more of. It is a product that, you know, both producers and governments feel is a growth industry, that there's room to get more maple syrup out there. So the number of producers has expanded a little bit, particularly in Quebec, but their ability to produce has really gone up as technology has kind of come to bear. There's some very sophisticated ways of gathering sap now. If the listeners have ever gone out to a sugar bush, they might have seen these plastic tubes that now connect the different trees and allow the sap to be collected and run down to a central collection point. It might be the actual production facility, rather than having the individual cans on the trees, which was the way that I grew up. You know, you've had individual sort of collection tins, and then you would collect those and bring those back to a central point. So we're increasing the production largely because Canada knows that there is demand for this product out there.
During this period then, you know, following a couple of low production years and like actively increasing global demand, what is happening in the industry in terms of the fight for supply and stock? And I ask this personally because my parents run an apple farm in the Eastern Townships. We often get maple syrup from local producers to sell at the farm alongside, you know, the typical jams and jellies and stuff like that. And it is harder to get now, I have been told. Like, it's difficult to get a full order of stock.
Yeah, I think that that's very true. And it's part of this evolution from maple syrup being sort of a niche seasonal product, something that, you know, was distributed very locally. Certainly, you know, I spent part of my youth in Bruce County in Ontario, and Bruce County has lots of maple syrup production. And a lot of that production was sold very locally. You know, it wasn't brought into the Loblaws in Toronto. It was sold in the county and to people in the county. So that market has changed. And it's partly because, you know, as we were talking about, both the industry as a whole and governments have sort of identified this as a growth industry. They're looking for ways to market it more widely. And that means that a lot of those local distributors, you know, like your family that would have bought locally from producers in the neighborhood and then sold that product maybe at a store or roadside stand, that's starting to disappear. It's not to say that there's an absence of product, but, you know, demand has increased and production, despite the fact that we've got new technologies, has not ramped up to follow that demand quite as quickly.
So this is, though, a good problem for the industry to have if they can replace that production and replenish the reserve, right? So how are they trying to do that? How do you increase production of something that like mostly occurs naturally, right?
Well, one of the ways that you can do it is you can get more scientific about the trees that you're selecting. And I know from talking to some producers that their level of knowledge about the stands that they're harvesting and the individual trees within those stands has gone way up. You know, a responsible producer really has a good sense of which trees are doing well, which trees may need a rest, you know, so that they can replenish their strength, so to speak, because these are living creatures or plants mm-hmm. that are out there. There are better ways of collecting the sap, so much less wastage within the system, better ways of producing the syrup at the end of the day, just more advanced boiler systems and better recovery systems. So these are ways to increase production. Now, one of the things that the industry faces is a challenge that a lot of farming in Canada faces, which is that, you know, we're going away from the old family farm model. We're moving towards more of an industrial model. It's not impossible to do maple syrup at a more industrial scale, but it can be difficult for new entrants into the market. So one thing I think that the industry would love to see, but has been difficult to really drive, is the entrance of new producers into the mix. To get started in the industry, you have to have the money to get the land or to at least lease the land. You've got to have access to those trees, and you need to invest in some of the capital, the infrastructure that's needed to make it work. So it's not a one-year investment. You know, this is a multi-year investment. We're not seeing a lot of new entrants into the marketplace. And that creates a challenge for the sector.
What about over the long term? You know, we've talked about how temperatures can make production fluctuate. We have been trending in general, and obviously will continue to trend towards warmer climate and especially warmer winters in Canada. What does that mean for the future of maple syrup?
So it's a really good question. And there's a few ways to think about the answer to this. One is that the season itself for collecting sap is likely to shift. We've seen earlier seasons lately. I've heard anecdotally that, you know, sap was running in January in parts of Quebec, which is not unheard of, but very, very rare for it to be running that early. And when it runs early, it means that often the producers are caught flat-footed. You know, they haven't got their collection systems in place. They're not prepared yet for harvesting the sap so that they can make the syrup. That means that some of the opportunity can be missed. Now, I think a lot of producers are pretty savvy about weather and you know, they're watching these trends, so they're prepared a little bit earlier, but that's one of the things that could happen. Another thing that is likely to happen over a longer period is that the range for really, you know, kind of optimal production of maple syrup could move north and upslope, so that where we used to see really, really productive stands, you know, in the past, may not be the case going into the future, because the optimal sort of climate conditions may move with a global warming trend. We may see things move into the north. And I'm not talking about hundreds of kilometers. It could only be 50 or 60 kilometers, but it could be enough that what was a very productive area becomes less productive. That's, you know, a longer term sort of a concern, but it is something to think about as the industry responds to the challenges of climate.
If you're thinking about the long term viability of maple syrup, will we still be pushing it as a growth industry 10 years from now? Will it still be easy for Canadians to get their hands on some at a reasonable price for their waffles or pancakes?
I think we will still be pushing it, particularly a decade out. I think that it is a great product. You know, it's a product that I identify with Canada. I think a lot of Canadians identify with Canada. I think that there will be some opportunities for growth as we go forward. But it is something that we as a country, and specifically our governments, has to be watching, because there's a lot of new pressures on the industry. It's going to be challenging for the industry as weather becomes more unpredictable, as the overall trend is towards slightly warmer temperatures. That's going to be difficult for the industry to respond to. Very likely, we're going to have to look at some supports, you know, whether it's incentive programs to bring new farmers in, whether it is expanding the reserve, because, you know, in a very good year, we could refill half the reserve or two thirds of the reserve and have that on hand. Maybe we need to expand it out. I'm very optimistic about the future for maple syrup production. I think it's a great product. You know, one of the things that I love about the whole maple syrup industry is that it's actually an incentive to keep these mature maple stands on the landscape. They're paying their rent, if you like, but the trees can remain there, provide the habitat and all of the other functions that they provide. Like, this is incredibly valuable for us as a country, even if we never go out and personally experience it. It's a resource and it's an asset that we should be protecting.
Warren, thanks again. This is a fascinating discussion, and I'm glad to hear you're optimistic.
Well, thank you for having me.
Warren Mabey from Queen's University. That was The Big Story. For more, you can head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. Yes, that is now twice in 2 weeks. We have covered the potential disappearance of an icon in Canadian culture. First, it was bagged milk. Now it's maple syrup. What's next? If you have an idea of what might be next, you can let us know so we can chase it. The way to get in touch with us is via email, hello@thebigstorypodcast.ca. And of course, with a simple phone call to 416-935-5935 and a voicemail telling us what you like, what you hate, what we should do next. The Big Story is in all your podcast players. And as I've mentioned before, the very best way to help this show out is to review and rate the show. It makes sure that other people see us. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.